Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Tuesday, September 27th, 2011. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. I'm your host tonight, and we're going to be talking about homebrewing and also Pacific Northwest beer. Our sponsor is GreatBrewers.com. Give a shout out to them. Learn more about beer education and check your beer IQ with the Great Brewers test at GreatBrewers.com. And our friends at Good Beer Seal, GoodBeerSeal.com, 34 New York City beer bars who can help you learn more about beer as well. So I'm here tonight with Mary Isett, who is our good friend, an Ale Street News columnist, and also has her own blog, My Life on Craft. How are you, Mary?
Good. How are you, Jimmy?
All right. And we've got a new guest, John LaPole, who with his partner Doug have opened a cool homebrew shop in Brooklyn called Bitter and Esther in Prospect Heights. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm glad to be here.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to start off. We're going to give a little just shout out to our good friend Ray Dieter, who passed away this summer. And last night I was at DBA East Village. It's in Manhattan on First Avenue. And I was really impressed with the beer list. You know, some bars live or die on the reputation of their beer list. And, you know, a guy like Ray was really involved in buying all the beer, mm-hmm. and he really paid attention to that. And there was, last night, there was the new 6-Point Mad Scientist, which was really good.
Oh, nice.
Have you tried it?
I have not tried that
one. It was some kind of fresh hop beer.
Yeah, I read about it, but I haven't tried it yet.
And they had Victory Hop Devil, which is solid. Kostricher Schwarz beer, a nice,
nice.
Dunkel Lager. Schneider Weiss, so some classics in there. And then some limited Belgians. Duranke Saison, that's a neat one. And Glazentoren Cuvée Angélique.
Nice.
Both Shelton Brothers. Nice. So that was a pretty good, you know, well-rounded list. I mean, they had other beers as well, but I was really impressed. And I just want to give a shout-out to Dennis and his staff there, Crow, the bartender. They're really keeping things going over at DBA.
Yeah, that's great. And they have a great backyard for this nice late summer weather that we're having.
Yeah. All right. So, Mary, but you've been keeping up with all the special beer events. Craft Beer Week was last week.
Yeah, fantastic.
New York City Brewer's Choice. So tell us about a little bit about your blog and how you got started with that.
Oh, blog. How did I get... I guess because I was traveling for beer and going to a lot of cool places and drinking a lot of great beer. So I started sharing it with people, photos. And now New York City has such a fantastic craft beer scene that I do picks of the week every... I try to get them up on Monday night, Tuesday morning, and kind of go over what's going on in New York City and what I recommend and what I'm doing. There's so many events to choose from now, and you know we have these fantastic bars and breweries. And then I'm trying to incorporate more homebrewing on my blog and just covering events like the Brewer's Choice last Thursday. So I'll have my craft beer week recap sometime this week. I took a ton of photos and had a really good time. I ate a lot of great food. Wonderful beer.
Is it hard for you to keep up with your blog? I mean, I know you have a day job.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. But I'm trying to schedule myself better, I guess. So.
What's the website again? For
it's mylifeoncraft.com.
My Life on Craft. And then you also write for Ale Street News, too.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm the New York City Long Island writer for Ale Street News. Yep. Social media director for the New York City Homebrew Guild.
Wow. And anything cool that we should know about? Anything going on that's coming up in the world of beer?
This week, there's a lot of actually interesting events in October. I think you're going to talk about Brooklyn Pour later. It's a beer festival in Brooklyn sponsored by the Village Voice, so that's exciting. There's a lot of Oktoberfest celebrations going on. I know the Bohemian Hall and Beer Garden in Queens is starting their 9-day celebration this weekend. And Atlantic Antic, one of my very favorite street festivals, is Sunday.
Well, that's a great event.
Yeah, and 6-Point Brews a beer for it. So
Sandbar Waterfront Air House, Sandbar Beer is always out.
Yeah. He does fantastic food. There's beer gardens. It's the New York City's longest street festival. And there's tons of craft beer. Like I said, 6-Point Brews a beer for it. The Atlantic Amber. Lots of live music, local arts and crafts. The restaurants bring out their, you know, great food. So, yeah. One of my favorite events.
Atlantic Annex Sunday. All right. And John, you just opened up a from what I hear, a cool homebrew shop.
Yeah, Bitter and Esther's in, on 700 Washington Avenue in Prospect Heights. But it's funny you mentioned Atlantic Annick, because it was at Atlantic Annick that my partner Douglas and I decided to open a homebrew shop. We were drinking some 6 Point, and he said, why don't we just open a homebrew shop? And I said, okay. So I always look at that as our anniversary.
Awesome.
We opened about 2 months ago. We actually physically opened the shop. But we've been teaching classes at New York City Resistor for about 6 months. They allowed us to teach stuff there. And we teach a beginning class, and we were selling our beginning homebrew kits. But now we have a full-service shop over in Prospect Heights. So just when you mentioned Atlantic Annick, I was like, that's this Sunday?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, you guys are going to do a brew your own?
We have a brew on premises.
Okay, yep. Brew on premises.
It's based on the electric brewery. It's all electric. There's no flame at all. And people will be able to come in and brew 6 cases of beer. That would be the minimum. They're 30-gallon kettles. It's a HERM system, a HERM system. And we're also going to have two extract stations set up. That's opening very soon. We've been doing beta testing on it. We have a fermentation room downstairs that's set up so you can ferment your beer there.
So that's a great opportunity for people in New York City that don't have the equipment, you know, aren't quite sure they want to invest in the equipment or, you know, take the time to take it up as a hobby, but would be able to brew their own beer. Especially, I would think, like, that'd be a great opportunity if you have, like, a birthday or some anniversary or wedding coming up.
That's
or
exactly.
Something special. You could brew your own beer and serve it at your party. Or
that's what
know,
people
cool.
are really, wow. they're coming in for. They're
yeah.
like, oh, I have a wedding coming up. And so they'll do more than 6 cases
yeah, yeah.
for that. And so it's been really a lot of fun. It's been very, very exciting.
Yeah.
We're a full-service homebrew shop also.
Right, right.
And we also have classes. We have a kombucha class coming up,
oh, nice.
Which I'm very excited about, and a winemaking class. So we're, like, all things fermentable, but we're mainly beer.
Right, right.
And it's been a blast. People have been really, really nice that we've met. They've come into the shop, and everyone's been very excited about it. So a lot of work.
Yeah.
Opening your own business. There's no question about that. But a lot of fun.
Cool.
Who are some of the people that are teaching classes?
Me.
All John Lapolia.
No, well, I teach the beginning, and I teach all the beer classes, and we have a gentleman named Ilian who teaches the wine classes. And the wine class coming up is actually going to be with fresh grapes. They're actually going to press the grapes, so it's once a year sort of thing. And then we have Kombucha Man, this guy Eric, who is Brooklyn Kombucha.
Yeah, we know Eric.
You know
cool,
Eric?
Yeah.
He's teaching the kombucha class, so... we're very excited about that, and we want to just keep expanding. You know, we're very much DIY sort of place. We built all our own shelving, and we built all our own tables, and so it's a real community thing. We want people to just be part of the community.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, the more people who brew beer, the better the world will be. So
yeah,
we're trying to get more and more people brewing. And
did you make
hobby.
This beer, John?
Yes, I did.
What beer is this?
This is a wet hop IPA. We just recently got fresh wet hops overnighted from Oregon, from Hop Union. And this is a Cascade hops that were put in after the fermentation was done. So it's got a real nice floral nose to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a once a year sort of thing that happens. So
right, because hops only
exciting.
Come into season... For a limited
fresh,
time.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had to have them overnighted, which I thought was
yeah, that's exciting.
Crazy. Yeah, it was exciting. I smelled like hops for about 2 weeks. My girlfriend said, "You know, you smell great. You smell like a beer." So
now,
I wanted to come make a batch of beer, how much would it cost?
Well, we're starting at about $150 for the brew, and that would be a very basic brew, probably about between $150 to $250, depending on how many hours it takes. We're kind of figuring it out by hour. Sort of system, and mm-hmm. then you would have to come back and bottle. So the bottling is going to cost about $60 to do that. Like I said, we're still in beta with it, so we're still figuring that out. But in about, I'd say, a week or two, we will have people actually coming in and doing it because we have everything worked out, just about.
Yeah.
That's very, very, very...
Do you think that most of the people that come into your store would be able to make a good beer with what you offer them?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to make a great beer, is the plan. And both Douglas and I are very passionate about what we do, and we're both very knowledgeable. I've been a home brewer for about 20 years now. And the more I the more I learn, the more I realize there is to learn, and I've learned a great deal. And a lot of our customers have been really knowledgeable. I've learned a lot from the people that come in. But that's the plan. You know, you come in, you make any type of beer you want, and it's going to come out great.
Do you have a list of your classes on your website?
Yes, we do. It's www.bitterandesters.com, and that's where we list all our classes. And you'll be able to sign up for the Brew on Premises there. We're the first ones in New York State doing a Brew on Premises. There's a couple in New Jersey. There's some in California. It's a great idea, and people are very excited
it's
about
for real
it.
The first in New York.
Mm-hmm. First in New York, yeah. There's been no other. So,
are there other places that you like to get homebrew supplies in New York?
Me? I own a shop.
you give some props to everybody. Any other places in Brooklyn that you like?
Of course, the best one is Brooklyn Homebrew. No, they're not the best. They're the best one besides us.
Yeah.
No, they're great people. We're actually friendly with them, and we really love them. It's just us and them, really, as far as
Brooklyn
I know, as
Kitchen.
Far as Brooklyn Kitchen, but are they full service? I've never
they
been there.
They pretty much have all, yeah, they stock a lot of equipment.
You know, this Whole Foods, but we are dedicated to brewing beer.
Yeah.
You know, and wine, and we sell wine supplies and stuff, too. So, you know, the strange thing is that there are so few homebrew shops mm-hmm. in New York City, the greatest city in the world. It's just kind of a surprise. Because there's a huge demand for it.
Yeah.
There's tons of people homebrewing.
Oh, yeah. There's at least, I think, 12 separate homebrew meetings going on in any one month.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And are there?
It's exciting.
What are the homebrew groups that you're involved with, Mary?
The New York City Homebrew Guild, of course. I'm social media director.
So that's like, that meets in East Village, right?
Yep, Burp Castle. The third Tuesday of every month at 7:30. I also go to the Malted Barley Appreciation Society, which is a beer appreciation society with homebrewers also attending, and... that meets the second Wednesday of every month at Mugg's Ale House in Williamsburg. And then I've also been going to the Knights
that's
of Brooklyn.
That's Eddie's bar, right?
Barrett's? Yeah, it's a great bar. Yeah. Mugg's has been around a long time. It's a fantastic bar. Eddie always has an interesting beer selection, actually. On draft, he has some crazy vintage bottles in the basement. And then Knights of Brooklyn, which meets at Union Hall. That's a great group.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's new. And then Brooklyn Kitchen has a meetup. Yeah, Beer Table has a meetup. I think there's one at Beer Craft, there's one at the Dive Bar, there's mm-hmm. one at Browery Lane, there's one at Brewstoria in Queens. They're a very active group, actually. They're doing a lot of interesting stuff. So, a
lot of beer in New York City.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
More and more people are
cool.
brewing.
A lot
of
good beer in New York City. Yeah. That's the best part.
And then do most of them go to shops like John's?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, before we had it, I mean, gosh, I think even two years ago, there was not a homebrew store in New York City. So everyone mail ordered or internet ordered. But now that we have homebrew stores, it's definitely the way to go. I mean, it's kind of... I stopped brewing for a while. And when I started again, I don't even have to plan. I just know that I can go and get my supplies the day before. So it's fantastic.
We carry everything. We make sure that we're fully stocked. And we also... we specialize in organics, too. We have a lot
awesome.
Of organic malts and hops and stuff.
Yeah, and then also the advantages. I mean... You always have questions. I always have questions. So if you go to a store, you know, you can ask the people that are working there, the owners, or, you know, and they're going to know and be able to help
you. John, do you work in the store every day?
I work in the store almost every day. I have a day job. Douglas is there every day. So I'm there every evening and the entire weekend. And I love talking about beer. I'll bore you to tears. I can talk about yeast until you'll drop dead. Yeah.
I think I've been waiting for this moment. I'm going to come to your store. I'm going to make my first batch of beer. I never made beer.
You've
before.
Never made beer? You have such a great bar. I love your bar.
I've been waiting for it to get really easy.
This is easy.
This is it.
Well, you know, it's the best store. Part about the brew on premises, and people are totally into it, is that we clean up after you. So you do the brewing, we do the cleaning. And so people are like, oh, that's worth it right there.
What's this other beer?
This is one of mine.
Mary,
what do we got?
You know, Mary Izett makes it's Izett or is it?
Izett.
You make some of my favorite beers.
Well, this is a weird one.
Last year
one.
We did a sour beer event, and Mary let me try her sour. Mm-hmm. And I've had your wit, I think, some other interesting ones.
Yeah. So this is a Gratzer. It's an obscure Polish style. It's 100% smoked wheat, and I smoked the wheat myself over cherry wood.
Wow. Wow, that's delicious.
Thank you. It's very. It's like very ham cool. in a glass.
All right. Well, we're going to enjoy this beer, and we'll take a short break. We'll be back on Beer Sessions Radio.
midnight. Well, I held my baby with all my might. What a wonderful time we had that night. Have you heard the news about good rocking at midnight? Well, have you heard the news about good rocking at midnight? Well, I held my baby with all my might. What a wonderful time we had that night. Have you heard the news about good rocking at midnight? Well, sweet Georgia Brown, sweet Lorraine, they got caught with Caledonia's man, Sioux City Sue. Told all those gals got together and had a ball of crying. Hey, hey, there's good rocking at midnight. Deacon Jones, he got so high they had to take him home. Here's the news about Elder Brown. He stole all the chicken and ran to town crying, hey man, there's good rockin' at midnight. Well, Caledonia got drunk, greedy like a pig. She fell down and lost her wig. Fanny Brown, she laughed.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're with Mary Izett and John Lapolia, two great guests. We're talking about homebrewing in New York City. And we just got an email question from Sisu O'Connor in Brooklyn. The question is I'm fascinated by open fermentation. Can you tell us a little bit more about how yeasts work in those situations?
Well, the problem with open fermentation is that you don't really know the kind of yeast you're actually going to get. People will still pitch a yeast during mm-hmm. the open fermentation, right? Mm-hmm. But there's the microbes that will get into the wort that will add to the flavor. So I've never actually done it in Brooklyn because I don't know what kind of things are floating around in our
yeah.
air.
Yeah, I've done fermentation from other natural things like apples and raspberries and.
You made a really great sour beer last spring, Mary. How did you make
yeah.
that?
So, I. have some really good friends that drink really great beer from other that we can't get here. So I had gone to a party where a lot of fantastic American sour beers were opened. So I kind of have this ghetto
like
culturing
ones?
Kit.
Which ones?
Russian River Salvation.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
that's
Ithaca Brut is fantastic to culture. Anyway, basically, I make up some wort, some malt extract solution. I put it in sanitized 20-ounce soda bottles, and then I sanitize. I keep some Star San, which is a common homebrew sanitizer, and a couple more, and I bring a spray to a bottle of vodka, and I bring this to parties with me, and once the beer is almost done, you know, I spray the neck of the bottle down, I dump some DME in there, I swish it around, and then put it in one of the bottles. So that's how I made that beer.
Wow.
We're going to open this question. We've got some calling guests. We've got Bob Brenlin and Elliot Ryan from Latona Pub in Seattle, Washington. How are you guys?
We're good. Great.
Welcome. All right. Okay. It's
Jimmy.
Great. This is Jimmy. Yep.
Yep.
And I'm here with Mary Izett from Ale Street News and John Lapolia. He's got a great new homebrew shop in Brooklyn.
All right.
So tell us, you guys are Latona Pub. You guys are celebrating your 25th anniversary. Tell us about yourself. How did you guys get started in this business?
Well, it's been a long haul, 25 years, but. I think probably the most interesting thing is, we've made it through 25 years, for one. And two is that there's this kind of new renaissance happening, and the brewing industry is the most exciting thing going on right now around here in Seattle. It's been great, and so we're lucky to be part of it. We went through some ups and downs, and now we're at an up point. And based on what the economy is doing, that's not a bad thing.
You know, everyone identifies the Pacific Northwest with the great IPA style. When you guys started, did people have IPAs back then, 25 years ago?
Well, a little history maybe will make some sense of it. Back in 82, it was kind of when there was a handful of brewers. There was Hales, and there was Red Hook, Pyramid, Grant. And Bert Grant, because he had his brewery out there in Yakima, where 30% of the world hop crop comes from, And so he kind of invented his notion of the IPA, the Northwest IPA, with the Yakima hop. So 1982, that was kind of the first of the IPAs that came on the scene. And it was a very strange beer and very out of balance, but it was hoppy as could be. And so that was the start of it. Fast forward today, and IPA is the best-selling beer that we have in the pub by far. So and I think it has to do with being in the Northwest, close to hop fields, and the tradition of using a variety of hops and beer here. So
do we have Bob and Elliot on, both of you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to listen in. Sorry,
what kind
a little quiet.
How many beers do you guys brew?
Oh, we
how
don't
many
brew
different
our own
styles?
Beer.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No.
And what other trends have you seen as far as like the last year or two, as far as, you know, what styles are becoming more popular? What's in more demand?
Well, it's fun. Bob, can I grab this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Up at the Latona, we only have 11 beers on tap, but you can run through a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like lately people, the Latona customers, have been in search of any good beer they can find from far and wide. So bringing stuff up from San Diego and the East Coast and Oregon, it's not just about local allegiances anymore, although a lot of people still drink the beer that they first really started to like. The variety these days is immense.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different breweries you can draw from. I mean, we have, I think, probably Elliot and I agree that we want the best and the freshest beer we can find. Most of the time, that's the local. So the Northwest beers often are what we tend to have more of, though. You know, you'll find a lot of California beers in Latona as well.
What are some of the top beers you have on draft right now, tonight?
Top beers?
Elliot?
Some of them are, you know, smaller breweries. Chuckanut up in Bellingham, they make German-style beers, and they're awesome. Fremont is a new popular beer in Seattle. We have their Belgian Harvest, which is a Saison, and their Summer, which is pretty much the last batch of that. Lots of IPAs and fresh hop beers, beers brewed with whole hops instead of pelletized hops.
I think right now, too, the fresh hop beers are just coming out. I don't know if you've had an opportunity ever to go to Yakima, but during the growing and the harvest season, it's pretty amazing. So right now, the hops have all been harvested, and the wet hop, which is by tradition, once it's picked from the vine, has to be in the kettle within 24 hours. So right now, we're getting these really fresh, hoppy beers, and they're just amazing. So that, to us here in the Northwest, is a big deal because we're so close to Yakima.
Hop Union's in Yakima, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Hop Union.
Yeah, we just had some hops overnighted from them. So we actually had Yakima hops here in Brooklyn.
Mm. Nice. Well, that's good. I mean, Brooklyn's seeing a little more resurgence. There's some. I was in Brooklyn last. There were very few breweries or small breweries, and it seems to be. How many are in Brooklyn? How many brew pubs are there right now?
Yeah, there's not a lot of brew pubs in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's more about the bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's only a few breweries in New York City.
Why is that?
Why is it, man?
Rent.
Real estate, yeah.
And in New York, a long time, people drank beers from Europe and the rest of America. I mean, in my pub, Jimmy's Number 43, I mean, we have, we'll have something from California or something from Michigan, you know, mm-hmm. something from Massachusetts and something from Belgium every night, you know, as well as
right.
local.
Yeah. We're seeing Long Island is really where the new breweries are where the growth is in new breweries.
It's still new. Like there's a brewery here called Barrier that just won the New York Tap. It's an award. It's an event for like the New York State brewers, and they won. And they're only a two brewery system, and it tells you how far New York State breweries have to go. But I think that you know you hear more about New York beer, but you guys definitely are the homeland over there. I'm gonna ask you a couple of pointed questions. All right. So Bob and Elliot, you guys have this great pub in Seattle. So tell us what you do. Bob, what's your job? And Elliot, what's your job?
Well, my job is kind of to oversee what we're doing and hire good people like Elliot so I can make my life easier. So we have a couple other pubs we're involved in. One's called the Fiddler's Inn. which is all three. We have three pubs, and they're all post-prohibition taverns that we renovated. Kind of the same theme. We have about 11 taps. The idea is to basically have short draws, clean lines, and move the beer quickly. So we want to always introduce people kind of the best, fresh kind of experience. So yeah, Elliot and I are just working on that. We were just for our 25th anniversary. We're trying to bring in some brewers to make us some pub beers for all three places. So that's kind of what we do. We work on all those things. And Elliot's, because the mothership is the Latona, he kind of takes reins over there. And
so what's the other? You got Latona Pub, you got Fiddler's Inn. What's the third one?
A Hop Vine Pub.
Hop Vine Pub? That sounds great. I like that, the having not too many lines. I only have 12 lines at my pub, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, no, we move them. I mean, I feel like I should move at least 2 kegs a week, you know, from each line.
And Elliot can describe his job, which is always changing, but... Elliot?
Oh, yeah. my job is managing the Latona Pub and working with a chef. And we found the food does bring in a lot of people, so our goal is to give people good food and a couple good pints, and they walk out the door happy and they can't wait to come back again. The hardest part of my job is, besides managing employees, is managing a beer list and trying to figure out what the customers want. And you know, we only have 11 taps, so you kind of have to keep a balanced beer list. Someone's going to want an amber, someone's going to want something light, but really it's trying to listen to customer feedback about which IPAs they like, and managing the, some of them cost more than others, and so you try and build a balanced beer list that is going to please as many customers as you can, and it's fun, it's difficult. Today I have too many beers in the walk-in cooler, so I got to...
These walk-ins are small.
Walk-in small.
Mary, have you been to Seattle?
Yes, but it's been a long time. I'm overdue.
So if Mary comes out to Seattle on one of her soon-to-be beer trips, where else should she go besides your places?
Well, the theater of beer in Seattle is Brouwer's. They certainly want it to have it's a big room. They've got lots of taps, and they're always doing something special. But I think if you really want great food, not to tout our own establishment, but Latona's food and the beer really go well together. It's just kind of classic.
Do you guys do beer and food pairing suggestions or events or dinners, anything like that?
We do over the course of the year. We do lots of beer events. We've done some beer dinners, which are a lot of fun, but we don't want to take away from our regular customer base from just experiencing the place. So
right.
We don't do them that often. We're a really small pub, so it's hard really to do beer dinners. But we do a lot of beer events because people like those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's cool talking to you guys. You guys, compared to New York, you guys sound pretty mellow out there.
Yeah.
It's midday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, it's 5:30
for us. Oh, that's
true, yeah. Did you guys start drinking beer yet?
At about 5 o'clock, I will.
Yeah, we're the same, but we're it's 5:30 out here.
Oh, we got to taste during the day, though. That's a job requirement.
It's difficult when you work with beer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's own a pub. This is cool.
Yeah, come out and visit. Give me a call. Be happy to set you up with some good beers. I would also try and visit as many breweries as you can if you visit out here. They all have little tasting rooms, and brewers like to talk once you get them going.
That's true.
So are they all in Seattle? Like, I know I met a guy from Elysian yesterday. Is that do you guys respect Elysian? That's a good brewery out there?
They're great.
They are actually in the middle of opening a production brewery, which eventually they're hopefully to do 35,000 barrels
out of.
Well,
that's great.
That's supposed to open this month or next month, and they're having their Great Pumpkin Festival, which is a huge deal for Seattle. They have, I don't know, 30 different kind of pumpkin beers.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that.
Wow. Mary, what are some other Washington State breweries that we get here that you like?
Oh, my God. You're going to put me on the spot.
Because I don't think we get that many. I mean, I've had Elysian.
No, we don't get that many. I think we get more Oregon breweries than...
Oh, you probably get Rogue. They're
And we get Cascade out here.
You get Cascade?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, New York City actually has a great distribution. Thankfully, we get some really interesting stuff out here. So
it's hard for us to get Cascade up here.
It's because it's all here.
That's the weird thing about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but other than Elysian, I can't think of another Washington
I'm completely.
State
I know there are some. I'm just blanking. So we should look on the greatbrewers.com website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now there's 150 breweries in the state of
Washington. Wow, that's great.
Washington. And most of them brew under 500 barrels a year, so you wouldn't hear about them. But they're all, they're doing really well. They're all expanding. They're going into cans. Cans is a big thing.
Yeah, that's, yep. We're seeing more cans out here, too.
Do you sell cans?
No. We don't sell cans.
Well, you know, when they get into cans, they really talk about the cans a lot. But I like my draft beer. Do you guys sell cask ales? Are you into that?
Yeah, we just had a cask festival on Sunday. We brought in four different fresh hopped casks.
Oh, that's exciting!
And we pour them. We set them up on the bar and do gravity pour, and that's where we ask for firkins or Golden Gate kegs. Well, it's a lot of fun. People love the cask beer. And
what's a Golden Gate keg? We have firkins, and they call them pins, these little ones.
Golden Gates are, a West Coast-style keg. They're pretty old. Not many breweries use them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a tap on the top and a tap on the bottom side. You push air through the top, and beer comes out the bottom. They're great for gravity pours. And I guess you don't find them on the East Coast very often.
Mm-mm. They have a special kind of holder, right, that you put on the bar?
That's for a firkin, which is also a cask beer. That's sort of, a British or Belgian style.
Right.
You have to actually physically tap it with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Those have those nice racks. Firkins, they have pins, which are small firkins. But I really prefer the 7.5-gallon Golden Gate cask beer.
Yeah, no, that's a nice size. Hey, would you guys mind staying on for a few more minutes?
Yeah, you bet. Okay.
Cool. All right, we're going to take a short break and just give a shout-out to our sponsor, GregBrewers.com. We'll be back on Beer Sessions Radio.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. Tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, jaboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Your destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situation from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chibooga. Woo-woo, woo-woo, chibooga. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chibooga. Take me right back to the track, Jack.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio, sponsored by GreatBrewers.com and supported by GoodBeerSeal.com. We got an email question from Mandy in New Mexico, and it's for John LaPola from our wonderful little homebrew shop, Bitter and Esther in Brooklyn. So, John, there was more to it than this, but this is about all I can tell you now. What about bottle labeling? Do you guys help provide custom labels and things for your homebrew people?
We are going to. We're going to have you either design your own label, or we'll help you design a label. And we have a label printer where we'll be able to print out labels for your bottles so that you can have a custom beer. Of course, you don't want to just, have blank bottles. How boring is that?
Right.
we're planning on doing that. And Mandy, we'll probably do like a gargoyle theme on some people, if they would like that. That would be really awesome. I know Mandy in New Mexico. She's a friend of mine, yeah.
I have a feeling she's a graphic designer. Is that true?
No, she's actually a sculptor. She's a great, great sculptor.
Well, she should design some of your labels.
Yeah.
You know?
Either that or there's another Mandy in New Mexico, but I'm assuming it's her. But that was nice of her to ask.
We still have Bob and Elliot. You guys are still on the line?
Yep. You bet.
All right. Do you guys have any homebrew shops out in Seattle? Is that a big thing?
Yeah, I mean, all the brewers around here started home brewing, so there's always been a place to get stuff. I think there's two or three real popular ones. Couldn't tell you the name. Do you know the names, Elliot?
Ezra, you don't have to know.
Well, the national, you're going to have several thousand homebrewers descending on Seattle next June, because the National Homebrewers Conference is going to be in Seattle next year.
Wow, I know. Uh-huh.
Cool. It's going to be exciting.
And Mary here, Mary Izett is now, tell us your new official position.
Oh, I'm a national, a BJCP national judge.
Oh, congratulations. That's
not
easy.
Mary's a judge.
It's exciting.
There's nothing like tasting beer with Mary, because if there's anything off, she'll let you know.
I wish I'd known that before I brought my beers with me.
Do you guys make a pro-am beer out there in New York? Some of the local breweries, getting home brewers involved in commercial brewing?
Yeah. Did you say, wait, can you repeat the question?
Oh, there's a number of local breweries here that... take winners from...
Yes, no, yeah, we're doing the same thing here. Actually, I just judged Heartland had their first homebrew competition, and I helped judge that, and they're going to brew a half batch of the winning beer, so that was very exciting. And then I know that Chelsea has done it before. Oh, I think it, you know what? I think it was actually a Cascade IPA, a dark IPA, black IPA, yeah.
Wow. And, there's also the New York City Homebrewers Group has a... the Homebrew Alley.
Yeah, so we always have a brewmaster's choice from that.
Which we had last year, I think we had 400 entries, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 years ago it was like 100, and then it went to 400.
Yeah, we had a lot of entries. Great. We had to judge Friday night and all day Sunday. So.
I wouldn't want to be the judge, I'll tell you that.
No, it's
and
fine.
I wouldn't want to tell people they didn't win.
But they all get, the whole point of a homebrew competition is to get good, valuable feedback on your beer. So it's good.
How many of those amateurs want to become professionals?
Oh, a lot, I would say. But
it's a good question. I mean, there's some guys like Peter Kennedy. There's a guy here who wins a lot of awards. He's a dad. And, you never know. It depends on the right circumstances.
Yeah.
There's others that just have that burst of energy, like Rich Buchetta here, Singlesmith. Ale Smith, is that his name? Singles. Sorry. Anyways, there's a guy here, and he's learning how to brew. Next thing you know, he's got a business plan, and he's trying to open a whole brewery. So,
but actually, I know several. Well, we've had some professional homebrewers come out of the New York City Homebrew Guild. I mean, Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewery was a member of
Single Cut Alesmith.
New York City Homebrew Guild. Chris Rich Post Puccio. From Wandering Star was a past president of the New York City Homebrew
Garrett
Guild.
Oliver, Brooklyn. I mean, that's... Yeah, I think without the homebrew community here, nobody would be making beer in New York, so... Just starting.
It's a good, it's a good way to connect and get good feedback.
It's a great hobby. Yeah. That's what I like about it. I mean, it's really, I always tell people,
it's
a
lot of fun.
It's
Bob, next time that we talk to you guys, I want to drink the same beer as you guys.
Oh, very good.
Would that be fun?
Yeah.
We'll try to get some.
We'll have to do the next one. We'll do it in the Latona Pub.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Is there like a Seattle Beer Week or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually just did Seattle Beer Week in May.
And was that mostly for people in Seattle, or did breweries come from outside of Washington State?
Well, it's the second time around, and I think that most of it focuses on the Seattle beer scene. But, of course, there's other Washington brewers involved and Oregon brewers. Northwest has a pretty tight community. There's a lot of Oregon brewers involved in the Seattle scene. But, yeah, it's fun. A lot of beer events around town, something like 500 that week.
That's great.
Wow. Guess hold on a second. We got another call-in. Is there a call-in person there, guys? Is it Rosemary Raposa? Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, we're back to New York here. This is Rosemary Raposa from Village Voice, and you're planning a special beer event in October.
Yes, we are.
Want to tell us a little bit about that? What's the name of the event and how we can find out more information?
Sure. We are planning our first ever Brooklyn Pour craft beer special. The event is taking place October 15th over in Fort Greene, and it's going to have over 100 beers from the East Coast as well as the country over at Skylight One Hands in the old Williamsburg Savings Bank.
So how many people are going to come to this event?
We're going to have probably about 1,000 people.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, we're going to actually use... two levels, so we're going to take over the whole bank that day. We're going to have some beers in the vault, some beers on the main floor. We're probably going to have about 60 brewers They're each bringing two to three different different beers, so it'll be a good event.
And you guys are you having? I thought I read something about demonstrations, or do you have music? What, there's other things going on, right?
Yeah, what we tried to do is we tried to make it an all-day event, so when people can come while they're sampling, they can, you know, interact and take part in some fun stuff for, you know, new beer drinkers to learn, and for existing beer drinkers just to find out new stuff and new things. So we have two demos going on as of right now. On our main floor, we're partnering with Private Tap, and they're doing a little home brewing session where they are going to be featuring home brewing equipment and telling folks about how to use it. And then we have James Waller, who is an author who has a book coming out called Drinkology, and he's going to be talking about mixing beers with foods and pairings and just a little educational area in our event.
Cool.
All right. It sounds really great. Are there any favorite breweries that you might want to mention?
Yeah, you know, I think we're really excited about how it's obviously in October and tying in with really good seasonal beers. You know, I know that we've got some really great Oktoberfests coming. We've got some fantastic pumpkin ales coming. We're really excited. Keegan Ales is bringing us their Old Captain, which is a coppery
nice. Keegan
beer.
Rocks. Those guys are Keegan and Kingston. I know you're listening. You guys are the best.
Yeah, with their chocolate stout oatmeal beer, so we're psyched for that. And then we've got, you know, everything from Otter Creek is coming to Dogfish Head and their pumpkin ale that everyone loves, to our locals. You know, we've got Brooklyn Brewery coming, and Kelso and Six Point. So we've got a really good roster of beers coming on board.
Rosemary, you guys do the great long-running Choice Eats event with Robert Saitsema. It's a really great New York food event. What made you decide to get into doing beer events?
That's exactly why. That's exactly the reason. So we've done 5 years of this awesome Choice Eats event over at the Armory in Manhattan, and every year we would just watch folks when they're in between sampling flock to these different craft beers that we feature there. So, you know, we teamed up with great brewers and other local distributors and talked to them, and just thought it would be really neat to kind of flip that event on its side and highlight the different craft beers that we have access to here in New York for people.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to going to that event.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else you want to say? Anything, one more thing?
I would say if anyone's interested in, you know, learning more about the beers, we have a full listing on the site. It's over at villagevoice.com/Brooklyn Port. And you can see all the different beers and demos, and tickets are still available. They're kind of going fast, but we're looking forward to seeing everybody there.
All right. And it's only $40, too, which is a pretty great ticket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we try and do that even with Choice Eats, all of our events. We try and make them so that everybody can come.
Great. And I know that you've offered a discount. We're going to tell everybody on the air. If you're listening, Beer Sessions Radio listeners, if you enter discount code VOICESTREET, when purchasing, you'll get a 10% discount, and that's really generous.
Mm-hmm.
Again, enter Voice Street, and you'll get a 10% discount. So thanks so much, and look forward to seeing you soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Looking forward to seeing you there.
All right. Do we still have Bob and Elliot on, or are they gone?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
All right, guys. Got a little bit of New York beer culture. You know, everybody's trying to do beer now.
Great. Get
some new. There's a lot of cool beer events in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There was just New York Craft Beer Week. People have tried different things. It used to be Brewtopia. There was Get Real. But I think that the best beer events...
And Get Real will be back.
Get Real, I know that. But I think the best beer events in New York are ahead of us. I think New York's going to have some really good beer events in 2012.
Well, and I think we're doing a lot of... Yeah. I mean, one thing that I love about your events, Jimmy, is that they're great beer and food events. Or same with Get Real. I mean, it's exciting to be able to go to a festival and have great beer and great food. So... I think that's a super thing.
And other thing, a lot of the beer events in New York have incorporated the homebrewers. I think also because we don't have so many like local small breweries. I think that a lot of the beer events, homebrewers have come and been sampling their beers, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we have some really good homebrewers here.
It's a lot of fun, too, when you go to one where everyone brings homebrew.
Oh, yeah,
and there's like 30 guys and girls with homebrew. It's like, wow, what a great way to have excellent beer and to really... Just share it with people.
Yeah, so there's the Brooklyn Wart.
So
yeah, Brooklyn Wart was
Brooklyn Wart's great.
Yeah, that's a really good. It's an event with how many homebrewers?
I think there were 20. Yeah, the last one was like 24, 25, I believe, okay. Something like that. Yeah, there was some outstanding beer at that event. Yeah. And then Knights of Brooklyn does it. Their homebrew comp, they do a little tasting at Union Hall. That's next Wednesday night, actually. Mm-hmm.
And then we also have, there's some kind of like, not quite commercial breweries that are like, they're really homebrewers, but they're trying to, you know, there's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of guys on the verge of becoming, you know, licensed breweries, I think.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think
New
York's going to see a lot more breweries in the next few years, you know?
Well, there's two. I know of at least one brew pub and one brewery that are planning to open in Brooklyn.
Yeah, so, hey, take that, Seattle.
Yeah, sure.
We're trying.
But we love the Mariners, too, actually. I'm sorry, man. I'm from Boston. Okay. I shouldn't say that on the air, but baseball is heartbreaking. That's what's great about beer. In the end, with beer, everybody's a winner.
That's true.
Yeah. That may be depressing. If you drink beer, you're a winner. But I think so. But all right, man. Well, listen, it's great to talk to you guys. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again. Anything else you want to say? Anything you want to say on air that we can replay 1,000 times for your fans back home?
I'll come to the Latona Pub and enjoy some beer and good food. And I hope you guys look us up when you're out here visiting.
All right, we'll do. It's on our list now. We got Latona Pub, Fiddler's Inn, and the Hot Vine Pub, right?
Yeah.
All right, in Seattle. Thanks so much for coming on, guys. Again, for special events in New York City, we got Brooklyn Pour coming up October 15th. I'm going to give a shout-out to Pig Mountain, if you like pig. We're going up to the Catskills October 15th. And go to ilikepig.com. You'll have five great chefs, including Amanda Freitag from Chopped.
Awesome.
And we're going to get some New York State beers up there. And anything else you want to say? John, tell us anything going on at your special new beer store.
I'll just tell you we're open Tuesday through Sunday, noon to 8. We're always there. If you come and you buy a kit or you're brewing a beer, we're always available for any questions. I make sure that people call me all the time.
Douglas, what's the name of your store again?
Bitter and Esther, 700 Washington Avenue in Prospect Heights. We're right by the Brooklyn Museum. It's the 2-3 stop on Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn Museum. It's really easy to get to. And we have a backyard.
And do you have a website?
It's bitterandesters.com or citybrewshop.com.
Well, that's a good one, City Brew Shop. I can remember that.
Yeah.
And Mary? You said it all, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
All right, and check out My Life on Craft for some really cool posts about really cool beer events. And thanks to our sponsors at greatbrewers.com. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. You can find out more about us at goodbeerseal.com. Thanks to John, Mary, Jimmy, Robert, and all the guys from Latona Pub in Seattle, and Mandy from New Mexico. Thanks for joining us here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and guest coordinator, Brett Thompson. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Casually mention the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The Heritage Meat Shop has just opened in the Essex Street Market. Open from 9 to 7 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 6 on Sundays, the Heritage Meat Shop supports independent family farms and animal welfare approved and certified humane raising standards. Most importantly, they offer a wide variety of heritage breeds. So stop by, get a sandwich, try the charcuterie, the Heritage Meat Shop at the Essex Street Market. This is a message from Fork and Anger. Aaron Fitzpatrick, the host of our wine program, Unfiltered, is looking for help on Kickstarter to open Fork and Anger, a general store inspired by two food-loving ladies with an equal affection for urban life, the sea, and the agricultural paradise of Long Island's North Fork.
The store is situated in a growing community of farmers and winemakers and will become a meeting place offering prepared foods, a variety of sundries, and a selection of homespun products, many of which will have their origins in New York State. Your backing will help them fulfill their dream of fostering relationships with the community and making the local food system accessible on a broader scale. Search Kickstarter.com for Fork and Anchor and donate today.